The following episode of Lyrics of Their Life podcast deals with serious issues such as drug references, sexual references, and violence that may be distressing to some listeners. It is not suitable for children. Listener discretion is advised. Hi everyone, and welcome to Lyrics of Their Life, On the Rise, the show where we take a look at the best rising stars of the music industry today, or those extremely talented artists that are simply underrated and deserve far more recognition. In today's episode, we will be exploring the story so far of Amber Bain of the Japanese House, who very much fits the mould of an underrated artist who deserves so much more. The now 28-year-old talented singer-songwriter, producer, and multi-instrumentalist possesses a beautiful, haunting, and ethereal vocal style and has recently released her second studio album, titled In the End It Always Does. As Amber has begun her rise to critical acclaim and has built a strong and devout fan base. In this episode, we take a look at how Amber's journey through life has unfolded so far, as we highlight some of Amber's best tracks for you to go and check out and learn of the interesting stories behind her songs. If you would like to listen to the songs spoken about in today's episode, feel free to check out our show notes for a link to our Lyrics of Their Life Spotify playlist, where you will be able to find a selection of tracks from the Japanese House. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. I'm your host, Adam Hampton, and this is Lyrics of Their Life On the Rise, the story of Amber Bain, the Japanese House.
Prince has died at the age of 57.
This is it.
Sorry, Gary, but I was always the talented member of the band.
Keep booing, little girl. I will hit a man with glasses.
I'm really happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Former Beatle John Lennon, who was 40, was shot and killed last night outside his luxury apartment in New York.
Has-beens shouldn't present fucking awards to Gunna Be.
Leave Britney alone!
Amber was born Amber Mary Bain on the 13th of July 1995 in Buckinghamshire County in the southeast side of England, which borders London to the southeast. During her childhood, Amber would be taught the ins and outs of music by her father, who was also a musician and a handy guitarist himself, as he was the guitar technician for bands like The Ride and Jesus and Mary Chain. Eventually, Amber would learn how to play acoustic guitar by the age of 5, with one of the songs that her father taught her on guitar being Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin, while Amber also learnt tracks by AC/DC. Amber would listen to a range of music growing up, and she was especially drawn to her father's taste in music and classic rock, listening to bands like the Beach Boys, Joni Mitchell, the Cocteau Twins, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, Blondie, ELO, and the Beatles, which Amber claims that she listened to them non-stop, and that she at times refused to listen to anything else, as she loved the Beatles so much. The songs Sweet Talkin' Woman and Mr. Blue Sky by ELO were some of Amber's favourites, while the Beatles' influence can definitely be heard today throughout Amber's songwriting style, with the first ever album that she purchased being the one compilation album by the Beatles. Amber also stated to Poncho, quote, "The Velvet Underground by The Velvet Underground is kinda the first actual physical vinyl I listened to, because I stole it off my dad, and I used to sit in the garage smoking and listening to this when I was an angsty teenager." Amber also got into Radiohead through a recommendation from a friend, and in particular their album, In Rainbows. Amber said that the tracks Nude and Videotape were some of her favourites from the album, and that Radiohead were definitely an influence on her musical style. Amber claimed that she didn't really even know what a music video was until the age of 10, thinking it was something you got from a video store, as she was so immersed in her father's record collection. Amber also began to discover her own musical tastes, becoming a huge fan of Bon Iver, The National, Beach House, James Blake, and Fleetwood Mac, while one of her favourite artists would be Avril Lavigne, as Amber claims that she was so obsessed with her music and even conspired a plan with her best friend on how they would travel to Canada by boat to see her in concert. Growing up, Amber would also immerse herself in nature and love taking photographs, something she would continue to do to this day, even taking a majority of the images for her EPs and album artworks. While Amber also claimed to be a casual hip-hop dancer, as she was quoted as saying, "I'm actually really good at the worm. Every time I get really drunk, I just do it. I used to do hip-hop dancing. I can crip walk too, and pop and lock. I can twist my arm all the way around too." At around the age of 10, Amber received her very first electric guitar and started to become a competent guitarist. She also learnt how to play the piano and how to write and produce music of her own. This was despite Amber claiming that the earliest song she ever wrote was around the age of 5, in which she wrote the song about a chair. As she grew up, Amber would often sit in her bedroom with her keyboard, computer, and microphone, as well as a guitar, writing and recording music as she headed into her teens. As Amber began singing, she was originally embarrassed and wasn't sure if she was any good, so in case her mother heard her, she would sing really softly, discovering she could sing quite low, which is a technique she has maintained in her music to this day. Using this low, whispery tone, of course, gave off a more manly sound, and when Amber played her songs for her mother, Amber's mother wondered if it was her male friend Will, and didn't think to question if it was Amber, with Amber still being too embarrassed to admit that it was her voice. Amber was also a self-confessed procrastinator, and whenever she had something she needed to get finished, like a school assignment or some chores, she instead would think of lyrics and quickly go and jot them down in her diary. As Amber's parents were divorced and Amber resided mostly with her mother, when she went to visit her father at the age of 11, she began to record songs that she had written using her recording equipment. In regards to Amber's sexuality, she realised pretty early on that she was mainly attracted to females, and also felt the desire to act and dress like a boy, as she remembers as a child wanting so badly to be a boy at times, and feeling like she was born into the wrong body. This led Amber to be referred to as a tomboy, and she would start to engage in sports that were mainly male-dominated, such as football or soccer. Amber recalls being a great little football player, and that if she didn't pursue music, becoming a professional footballer would have been her next best choice, with football or soccer at the time being looked at by many, including Amber's mother, as a male-dominant sport. Amber found herself withdrawing her interest and passion for football due to her mother's negative thoughts rubbing off on Amber. With Amber claiming her mother seemed worried about Amber's views about her own gender. This led to Amber feeling ashamed to be referred to as a tomboy and to be interested in more manly things. Amber decided to suppress her true interests and feelings and says she, quote, forced herself to become interested in the colour pink and Barbie dolls, just to attempt to please those that she loved. This was despite Amber finding girls' interests to be boring, and she was often wanting to be off with her friend group, which were mainly boys, and doing things like playing in the mud. At the age of 11, Amber and her friends even started their very own garage band that they called Rocket, as she was quoted as saying, I started making up really bad songs with my band when I was young. We were called something like Rocket and had a song called Teenage Life, despite the fact that we were only 11 at the time. We wanted to be like Busted or Avril Lavigne. Later, Amber would have another project name for herself before she became the Japanese House, with her first artist name being titled Leon, which was inspired by the 1994 action drama of the same name. As mentioned earlier, Amber described herself as an angsty teenager, often smoking and drinking with her friends in her father's garage, listening to all sorts of music. As some teenage girls do, Amber went through a rebellious phase where she would sneak out at night and attend nightclubs underage at just the age of 16, with her cousin getting her into the club. Despite possessing the ability to study academically at university, being a solid student, Amber, with the support of her father, decided to pursue music as a career instead. Amber happened to be considering going to university to study politics after taking an interest in the dramatic circus of American politics and receiving an A grade while studying the subject in school. But the call to pursue her dream as a musician was far too strong to ignore, and she is definitely glad now that she didn't follow the political route. During 2012, when Amber was around the age of 17, her best friend decided to introduce Amber to her boyfriend, who was none other than the 1975 frontman, Matty Healy. The 1975 around this time were just about to release their debut EP titled Face Down, featuring the popular track The City. As time went on, Amber formed a strong bond with the 1975 frontman, which would bode well for Amber when Matty would eventually introduce her to the CEO of Dirty Hit Records named Jamie O'Born, who decided to sign Amber Bain to his label under the name The Japanese House, with Amber signing to the same label as the 1975, No Rome, and Pale Waves, just to name a few. Amber had chosen the project name The Japanese House as she felt as though she wasn't ready to reveal to the world what her real name was, or even what her gender was. Remaining anonymous to the world for now, the Japanese House name, strangely enough, derived from an interesting memory of hers that sticks out to her, as it was actually the name of a holiday house that resembled a Japanese tea house, which she would often visit in Cornwall in England when she was a little girl, around the age of 6. Amber would travel here with her parents when they were together, which actually happened to be owned by the actress Kate Winslet, who would rent it out to holidaymakers. While here, Amber would play games with the 5-year-old girl next door, where Amber decided she would act and dress as a boy named Danny, and didn't let on that she was actually a girl, as she was dressed very masculine in dungarees, a flannelette shirt, jeans, and a cap, in which she tucked her hair up underneath her hat to give the impression that she was in fact a boy. The five-year-old girl next door developed a crush on Amber, thinking she was a boy, and would send her love letters only for Amber to eventually reveal that she was in fact a girl, which she says made the girl next door cry when she found out. With Amber being described as a tomboy growing up, and even to this day, for Amber, she just wanted to be recognised and appreciated for her music rather than her gender or appearance, hence the name The Japanese House. Ultimately, a sense of mystery would arise around the Japanese house, as many pondered what her gender actually was due to the style of her voice and her gender-neutral appearance, with the media often attempting to pull the shy and reserved Amber aside for interviews, but she would always decline. At the time of her debut EP, some even thought that the artist behind The Japanese House was a man, as speculation rose as she managed to even avoid the paparazzi, while others thought that The Japanese House was some sort of side project of Maddie Healy's from the 1975. Over time, however, Amber chose to be more outgoing and inviting with the media as she eventually grew to be more comfortable with them, and also was quoted as saying, "I didn't want the mystery to become bigger than the music." With Amber signed to Dirty Hit Records at the age of 19, she would relocate to Forest Hill in southeast London to be closer to the action, moving into an apartment with her pet German Shepherd named Calvin. While in East London, Amber, aged 19, had entered into a serious relationship with another female, being 23-year-old English singer-songwriter Marika Hackman, who she started dating in 2014. Marika Hackman herself had already released around 4 EPs of her own and would go on to release 4 albums and another EP from 2015 to 2020. Marika was also signed to Dirty Hit Records. They were first introduced to each other by Amber's best friend Gemma, after Amber had just exited from a relationship in which she said she was heartbroken. On January 10th, 2015, Amber would make her live concert debut as The Japanese House with her very own band, as a support act for the 1975. As Maddie Healy had decided to bring The Japanese House along on their debut tour. Amber's first show would take place at the Farbaden Theatre in Adelaide, South Australia. Amber would go on to support the 1975 at future shows in the UK, performing just 3 shows in total in 2015, before continuing with the 1975 for their second album tour, as they returned to Australia once again into January 2016. Over this period with the 1975, Amber built great friendships with George Daniel and Maddie Healy especially, and with her fear of having her photo taken and her stage fright that often led to excessive shaking, Amber was able to overcome these phobias and fears with their support. As Amber began to make a name for herself, The Japanese House would emerge on the 2nd of March 2015, when Zane Lowe of BBC One decided to premiere the track Still from The Japanese House's debut EP. With little known about The Japanese House at this stage, Zane Lowe would help get the word out with the track Still featuring as his hottest record. The EP, Pools to Breathe, would be released the following month on the 27th of April 2015. Featuring 4 tracks, the EP would be produced by Amber, as well as George Daniel and Maddie Healy of the 1975, which was quite evident on the overall musical style of the tracks, in particular the songs Teeth and Still, as they gave off the 1975's electro-pop vibe. Then, on the 6th of November 2015, the Japanese house would release their best EP yet, titled Clean, once again written and produced by Amber, Maddie, and George Daniel. The EP featured two brilliant tracks titled Clean and Cool Blue. The ambient style tracks would help the EP reach number 13 on the US Heatseekers album chart, marking a huge milestone for Amber. Cool Blue in particular is an amazing track, which Amber wrote on a cold rainy day indoors, as Amber attempted to time the strumming of the notes on guitar with the falling of the rain. On the 11th of November 2016, just over a year since the release of Clean, the third EP from the Japanese house would be released, titled Swim Against the Tide, with the standout track this time around being titled Face Like Thunder, with its more radio-friendly pop beat and being one of Amber's earliest written tracks. With drummer George Daniel of the 1975 producing the EP with Amber as well. Swim Against the Tide would actually do one better than Clean by reaching number 12 on the US Heatseeker album chart, with Face Like Thunder featuring on Annie Mac's BBC One program, and the track Good Side would become the second track of Amber's to feature on Zane Lowe's BBC One program, World Record. The EP titled Swim Against the Tide was about Amber's experience with falling in love with a woman and then losing her, as Amber was quoted as saying, "It feels like you're swimming against the tide. In a sense, it's a struggle." Much of the Japanese house's music would delve into Amber's experiences with relationships and her struggles with mental health, while Amber also claimed that during the recording process that she recorded some of her own vocals by just using her Apple headphone microphone before heading into the studio to fine-tune them. During 2016, the Japanese house would tour both solo and with the 1975, travelling across the UK, Europe and the US. Amber even took part in a number of festivals, including the Reading Festival, and in total, she would perform a massive total of 107 shows just in 2016 alone. The band Wolf Alice would also join the Japanese house and the 1975 on tour, with Amber claiming they shared a bus with the Wolf Alice bandmates, with the highlight of the tour being a festival gig in Atlanta, Georgia, where Amber poked her head out of the curtain to see just around 20 people ready to watch the Japanese house perform, but by the time they went on, around 200 people had flocked to watch them, with Amber stating that she shed a tear as it was overwhelming and humbling. Then, during February 2017, the Japanese house launched their first solo tour of the US, before returning to shows in the UK and Europe, performing a total of 56 times in 2017. On the 6th of June 2017, the Japanese house would next release their fourth EP, titled Saw You in a Dream, which highlighted Amber's growth as an artist, reining back the overproduced tracks for a more simpler approach that worked wonders, as her relaxing, dreamy vibe shone through in the way she delivered her vocals, lyrics, and musically. The track Saw You in a Dream would be by far the EP's standout track, as Amber tells a beautiful but sad story about the loss of one of her close friends. During the song, Amber can be heard searching for her friend in her dreams, who had recently passed away in real life, as her friend's spirit often comes to visit her in her dreams. Despite describing the visits in the lyrics as the perfect hallucination, as the song progresses, Amber displays her frustration when her friend suddenly ceases to appear in her dreams, which of course makes Amber sad and makes her wonder if she's being silly and wasting her time, and if she needs to just let go of her friend. As the lyrics in the song read, I saw you in a dream, you came to me. You were the sweetest apparition, such a pretty vision. There was no reason, no explanation. The perfect hallucination. All good things come to an end, but I thought that this might last. But you came and left so fast. When I'm awake, I can't switch off. It isn't the same, but it is enough. I saw you in a dream. Then it came to an end. I wonder if you'll come visit me again. You're taking your time to reappear. I'm starting to believe that when I call your name, you just don't hear me anymore. And I know that I shouldn't even try. It's a waste of time. Saw You in a Dream remains to this day the most popular track by the Japanese House, with over 140 million streams on Spotify. In Amber's opinion, Saw You in a Dream is the best song that she has ever written, and is very close to her heart. Despite Saw You in a Dream being a clear standout track, the Saw You in a Dream EP would receive mixed reviews and fail to chart this time around, which stalled any momentum that Amber had built, with some critics claiming that this EP was too similar to Amber's previous work. A month later, a beautiful rendition of Landslide, originally by Fleetwood Mac, was released by the Japanese House via Spotify, before Amber went on to work on her debut album. On the touring front, in 2018, the Japanese House would perform just 18 times across the United States and the UK, as Amber was hard at work on her debut album. However, some bad news would arise during 2018, with Amber and her girlfriend Marika calling time on their 4-year-long relationship. The pair did manage, however, to remain friendly, with Marika even starring alongside Amber in the music video for Lilo down the track. With the music video for Lilo by the Japanese House displaying Marika and Amber emotionally embracing in front of a burning car to symbolise the ending of their relationship in the most powerful and moving way. While other shots see the pair looking into the blank space, pondering their choices during their relationship, and the torment and pain of a breakup after, of course, sharing so many loving years together and still loving each other, but realising they just can't continue on together as it just isn't working. A Lilo refers to the air mattress beds that can be used to float on water, as the lyrics to Lilo beautifully capture the beginning of Amber's relationship with Marika, but now with the sad realisation that it is coming to an end, as Amber says, quote, it narrates our relationship, and that the choruses represent the beginning of their relationship as it was written then, and the verses represent the time they were ready to break up, which was of course written after the breakup. As Amber sings the brilliantly written lines, I needed someone to depend upon. I was alone, I was emotional, searching for the right emoticon, to expand my mental lexicon. Then Gemma told me that she met someone, it was the person I'd been counting on. It felt good, it felt transitional, a feeling I'd been waiting on. You were floating like a Lilo, with your eyes closed, going where the tide goes. Caught in flux, you drifted till you hit the sides. Hold my breath another minute. I can keep my head, there's nothing in it. I'm a patient wave, and it's an easy ride. I saw myself an intellectual. I thought that I was capable. Every move was just habitual, and life was just a ritual. Amber spoke about her relationship with Marika well after their split, stating, quote, Marika and I are good friends and have been for years. It's nice to be in a close relationship with someone who at one point you're writing very intimate songs about. A year later, you're walking down the street holding hands and smiling about it. It's funny the way things happen. Marika and I are lucky to have always understood that aspect of our relationship. I guess Marika is the only person I've been with where it's been the other way around, and they've written songs about me. As the release of the debut album grew near, Amber returned to the touring circuit in the Netherlands during January 2019, and after years of having Maddie in the 1975 beside her, Amber was now solely headlining her own gigs, performing another whopping total of 91 shows in 2019, across the UK, Mexico, Australia, Europe, and for the first time in Indonesia, for the Jakarta Super Festival. After a year or so of hard work, on the 1st of March 2019, the Japanese house would release their first album, titled Good at Falling, with reasonably successful lead-up singles, catapulting the album into the US Heatseeker chart at number 6 and the UK album chart at number 64. Amber claimed that during the photo shoot for the album cover, they headed to Death Valley in the USA, where Amber claims she passed out numerous times due to the extreme heat. In the end, however, she was happy with the final product. George Daniel of the 1975 would again co-produce the album with Amber, with standout tracks on the album, including a slowed acoustic version of Saw You in a Dream from the previous EP, You Seem So Happy, Lilo, one of Amber's personal favourite tracks in Follow My Girl, and one of the best tracks the Japanese house has ever produced, titled Maybe You're the Reason. Maybe You're the Reason is a brilliant ambient track featuring Amber's effortless, downtrodden but soothing vocals with a relaxing and emotive guitar riff, which is simply pleasing to the ears, and I highly recommend checking out this incredible track. The story behind the track actually varies and has many meanings, as it actually deals with Amber's former eating disorder, which was also depicted in the music video for the track Lilo. Amber says that when writing the song, it actually began as a short story before forming it into a, quote, existential crisis, and thoughts like, what is the meaning of life, and in her words, her existence. Then, with the inspiration of Marika, she decided to turn it into a sort of love song, and that her reason for existing was in fact Marika. Over time, however, after their breakup, Amber stated that the meaning of the song changed for her, and quote, obviously my relationship ended, and I had to learn to make myself the reason that I exist. After the release of Good at Falling, however, Amber was also able to give up drinking alcohol, after suffering in the past with alcohol abuse, often over drinking vodka and Diet Coke, Prosecco, or whiskey, with Amber claiming that whiskey was the cause of some of her worst nights out drinking, and in regards to hangovers, and sometimes she would even perform intoxicated or hungover. With Amber's life well and truly looking on the up overall, the Japanese house's first album proving to be somewhat of a success, and Amber landing more and more gigs worldwide, her brand had never been bigger. But that was until 2020 rolled around, with the destructive COVID-19 pandemic protocols, of course, putting a halt on any momentum that Amber had worked so hard to achieve so far. Just 3 shows would be performed in 2020 by the Japanese house, with all 3 being festival appearances in Australia from the 1st of January to the 5th. This would end up being Amber's last gig for a total of 3 years, after making her return on the 5th of January 2023 at St. John's Church in the UK. On the 27th of September 2019, the Japanese house would yet again release a brilliant single titled Something Has to Change. As the title suggests, Amber sings about her life being so structured, and that it has become so repetitive and almost boring, so a change is exactly what she needs. She also refers to her relationship choices and falling into negative and toxic patterns that simply need to be broken. In an interview with It's Dope, Amber described herself as a control freak and that the song represented the need to stop being so structured, as it was only causing her stress. As Amber sings the lines, "You got the same train and you took it back to the same place. You're back where you started. It's the same thing. You keep trying to do something different, over and over again. Something has to change. And it's the same thing. You're repeating yourself, and it's the same girl who's giving you hell. And it's the same face. Your heart keeps breaking in the same place. Something has to change." The music video for this track sees Amber repetitively drinking cans of Coca-Cola and watching TV, while looking depressed, longing for a change of routine, while her much-loved pet dog Calvin, the German Shepherd, even makes an appearance. "Something Has to Change" should be praised for its ability to relate to so many people from all different walks of life, who are stuck in jobs, relationships, or even in relation to their physical or mental health, which is what makes it such a great relatable track. The release of Something Has to Change was set to be followed by the release of an EP of the same name in November 2019, but it was pushed back to early 2020. Instead, to tie her fans over, on the 22nd of November 2019, a second single was released, titled Chewing on Cotton Wool. Despite plans for an EP release in early 2020 due to the pandemic, the EP was released officially on the 12th of August 2020, titled Chewing on Cotton Wool, discarding the previous planned title of Something Has to Change. The four-track EP is solid from start to finish, with standout tracks, of course, being Something Has to Change, Chewing on Cotton Wool, and Dion, featuring Bon Iver frontman Justin Vernon. Once again, critics praised Amber's growth and her more rounded sound and production skills. Most of the tracks, according to Amber, deal with coming to terms that a relationship has ended and the need to move on, and the difficulty of doing so, while also dealing with the emotions that come with it and realizing if you're not in a great place mentally and that a change is definitely needed. With Amber's sad and occasionally depressing style of lyrics and melodies, as well as her appearance, Amber would be compared at this time to a modern-day Kurt Cobain, although in a 2019 interview, Amber referred to herself as a, quote, modern-day, more depressing ABBA. While Amber revealed in an interview that she found the recording and writing process to be difficult during COVID-19 lockdowns, as it wasn't very inspiring and it gave her a lack of motivation. The EP cover artwork also features Amber on the cover for the first time, and even shows her posing nude, revealing her breasts, which Amber says she was nervous about in regards to how people would react to the shock image. But she revealed that most people were quite positive about the image, which she found to be comforting. Amber would actually admit during this time off, due to the pandemic, that she actually needed a break from performing, as she was becoming burnt out from playing almost 100 shows in a year, and that for her, it came at a good time, stating that usually by 3 months into a tour, she would begin to hate it, as she would grow tired of playing the same old songs. In the past, before Amber quit alcohol, she claimed that when she was on tour, it became so boring and repetitive that she would often fall into bad drinking patterns, which led to poor live performances. However, as the lockdown went on, it didn't take long for Amber to miss being on that stage and interacting with her fans, as she would be made to wait, like everyone else, due to the continued restrictions around live gigs worldwide. Amber, like many, found lockdown to be very depressing and struggled to put pen to paper, often staring blankly at her computer screen, struggling to write songs, as this continued on well after lockdown and was one of the main reasons for the large gap in between releases. Amber spoke to Dork about this time, as she was quoted as saying, "I honestly felt like I needed to sleep for a year. I convinced myself that I was this lazy person with no drive because all I wanted to do was lie down and watch TV all day. But I think I was just a bit depressed, and despite expectation to produce material during lockdown, Amber just couldn't find that spark for quite some time." During this time, Amber would briefly enter into a three-way polyamorous relationship, or thruple, with a lesbian couple who had been together for 6 years already, including a woman named Polly Mackey. Amber had actually relocated to the seaside town in England of Margate in Kent to be with the couple towards the end of the pandemic, and told the Irish Times, quote, "The thruple was intense. I'm really happy I had that experience. I'm equally happy I'm no longer in it." While the experience was enjoyable, sadly the thruple began to break apart when one of the women decided to leave the relationship, with Amber stating, quote, "It was hard. It's difficult enough to juggle one other person's emotions. Three people? It was insane." Amber would also state that the relationship would make its way onto her latest album, influencing lyrics and themes in the tracks such as Sad to Breathe and Boyhood. With Amber leaving the thruple, she would adopt another dog instead, and she also made the move back and forth between the seaside town of Margate and London, in what was a very confusing and busy time for Amber. After a significant amount of time had passed, Amber finally found the motivation to write again, and in a short 6 month window during 2021, her second studio album was born, despite not being released until 2023. It would be during this time that Amber also repartnered with a woman named Alyssa, with the couple later on becoming engaged on the 2nd of April, 2024. After a lengthy hiatus, Amber and the Japanese House would arise once again, making a comeback on the 20th of March, 2023, with the release of a single titled Boyhood, which would be the lead single to Amber's second studio album, titled In the End, It Always Does. Yet again, the single Boyhood would hit the mark in terms of being a great track, featuring Amber's soothing vocals, a relaxing flowing beat, and a country ballad or Fleetwood Mac vibe. Boyhood once again focuses on Amber's relationships in the past, her path to discovering herself as a person, and in regards to her sexuality, and that she is still trying to discover who exactly she is. As Amber had mentioned in an interview with Vera on Track, that she still doesn't really know if she identifies as non-binary or gender fluid, or if she even subscribes to those tags at all, and that instead she feels somewhere in the middle of being a male or female. As Amber sings the lines, "I could have been somebody else, but I've been out looking for me. It doesn't matter what I tell myself. For a moment there, I swear I saw me. I went to meet somebody new, changed beneath the evening light, and she held me kind of like you do. I hope you know, I could have been somebody who you wanted to have around to hold. I should have jumped when you told me to. I want to change, but it's nothing new. And if I grow, I'm gonna get so old. Will you hold me like you always do? I used to be somebody else, and I'm still out looking for me. I go out and try to chase myself, find someone that might restore me." During the music video for Boyhood, Amber can be seen riding a horse with her friend Katie on the back as they gallop through a paddock. Amber claims that Katie was actually one of her very first girlfriends as a teenager and that they remain friends to this day. Katie is a stunt rider and the pair had apparently thought up the idea for the video back when they were 17. So, 10 years on, and their idea would become a reality, turning into a beautiful music video which perfectly accompanies the track. On the 30th of June 2023, Amber Bain of the Japanese House would release her second studio album, titled In the End It Always Does. The album would peak at number 3 on the UK independent charts, 12 in Scotland, and 29 on the UK album chart. Standout tracks on the album include Boyhood, the Ivor Novello-nominated track Sunshine Baby, which features backing vocals from Matty Healy of the 1975, and the tracks Friends, Sad to Breathe, Touching Yourself, and One for Sorrow, Two for Joni Jones. The album was produced by Amber, George Daniel of the 1975, and Chloe Kramer, and features themes that deal with Amber's life growing up and realizing she was attracted to women, as well as dealing with relationships and dark and sad topics in which Amber was able to turn into more upbeat type tracks, masking the raw and difficult subjects raised in the lyrics. When speaking with Dork, Amber claimed that with this album, she had, quote, de-pigeonholed myself as that sad, sad indie pop girl, and I just wanted to write songs that are really pleasing to listen to. With Amber claiming she grew bored of her previous style and sees the new album as a new experimentation. Most recently, the Japanese House would feature on the single Backseat with Fred again, as well as releasing a brilliant single titled Smiley Face about how Amber first met her partner Alyssa, while also collaborating with Charlie XCX for the track Apple, which featured on Charlie XCX's award-winning album Brat. The Japanese House is also currently touring with the likes of the 1975 and Charlie XCX, and as a solo artist across the USA, all while recently celebrating 2 years together with her partner Alyssa while living in LA. With over 2.5 million Spotify listeners a month, 28-year-old Amber Bain, aka the Japanese House, is building quite the solid following despite being very underrated still. Her latest album, In the End It Always Does, is definitive proof that this is one artist that is most definitely on the rise, with brilliant tracks scattered throughout, while her back catalogue is stacked with bangers. With her dreamy melodies, haunting vocals, and incredibly intelligent lyrical ability, Amber, aka the Japanese House, is destined for greatness if she can continue to improve on her ever-evolving sound, and with the 1975 boys helping to guide the way, there's nothing stopping Amber from reaching the same heights and achieving the same accolades that they have over the years. The Japanese House are on the rise, so what are you waiting for? Go and check out her music now. Thank you for tuning into that episode. Don't forget to check out our other episodes, ranging from Kurt Cobain and Freddie Mercury to Prince, Tracy Chapman and Stevie Nicks, and up-and-comers like Youngblood, Tones and I, and The Kid Laroi. For more information regarding this episode, including weekly updates and more, head to our Facebook page at Lyrics of Their Life Podcast or our website at lyricsoftheirlife.com. You can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and even YouTube and Spotify, where you can find a range of playlists featuring the music of every artist covered in the Lyrics of Their Life podcast so far. If you really enjoy the podcast and would like to give back for the hard work that goes into it, it would be greatly appreciated if you could leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, or you can now rate the podcast on Spotify. Don't forget to let your friends and family know about what they've been missing out on, and feel free to click the free subscribe or follow button to the podcast wherever you listen, so you can receive a notification every time a new episode becomes available. If you would like to support the podcast financially, then please feel free to head to Patreon or buymeacoffee.com, where you can contribute your support for the podcast in exchange for some bonus content, ranging from as little as $1 donations to really anything you like. Every bit of support is greatly appreciated, and it means I can continue to bring you more great episodes in the future. This podcast is created and researched completely independently, so your contribution would really help this podcast continue on. Once again, thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I'm your host, Adam Hampton, and this is Lyrics of Their Life.